Now, the positive noises about the window of opportunity for progress on the thorny issue of the protocol continued after Taoiseach Micheál Martin had a brief meeting with the new UK Prime Minister Liz Truss. That was at the EU political community gathering in Prague yesterday. Afterwards, the Taoiseach said he accepted the UK's good faith in trying to find a deal. Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney, meanwhile, was meeting his new UK counterpart James Cleverly in London, and we'll hear from Minister Coveney later. And at home, Tánaiste de Leo Varadkar said the Northern Ireland protocol is a little too strict and there was more room for some flexibility.
I think we should not forget that the protocol is working. It was designed to prevent a hard border between North and South, and there is no hard border between North and South. It was designed to protect the integrity of the single market, and it has. And also the Northern Ireland economy is outperforming the rest of the UK economically. But one thing that I would concede is that perhaps the protocol, as it was originally designed, was a little too strict. The protocol has not been fully implemented, and yet it is still working. And I think that demonstrates that there is some room for further flexibility, for some changes that hopefully would make it acceptable to all sides.
Tánaiste de Leo Varadkar speaking in Dublin yesterday. Now, our Europe editor, Tony Connolly, is in Prague with the Taoiseach. The Taoiseach having another meeting today. That's an informal meeting of the European Council. And we'll get to the EU agenda in a moment, Tony. But first, let's talk about this more positive mood music on the protocol. Is it just nicer diplomacy, or is there a significant shift going on here?
I think there is a significant shift, Anya, and I think the UK seems to be more willing to engage in the real substance of flexibilities around the protocol, even though the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, which would dismantle most of the protocol, is still making its way. It looks like the negotiations, which kicked off yesterday, are going to be a lot more substantive. They're going to be really drilling down into the technical issues around customs checks, around agri-food checks, and there's going to be a lot more political input as we go. It will be a lot more dynamic and fluid compared to the last time around, and that takes both sides to agree to that approach, and the UK has agreed to that approach. I think a key milestone here is Liz Truss's meeting with President Joe Biden in New York at the UN General Assembly meeting there a few weeks back. I think he made it clear in no uncertain terms that she must go for a negotiated solution to the problems of the protocol rather than a unilateral approach, which seemed to characterize the UK's approach to date. So all of these things are conspiring now to create this mood of confidence, but at the same time, the gaps are fundamental, and it's not going to be an easy negotiation.
So better mood music in terms of the protocol, but the other thing that there is less good mood music on, in fact positive disharmony, is Europe's approach to the energy crisis. A lot of other European countries quite critical of Germany, and this is one of the issues on the agenda today, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So EU leaders are in Prague anyway because of that meeting yesterday. So they're having an informal summit today, and it's going to be dominated by what to do about gas. Now, in simple terms, there's less gas available because, Russia has been turning off the taps. And that means it's more expensive, and that has a critical knock-on effect on the price of electricity. So member states want to deal with that without having to deindustrialize or having to face huge social problems and political backlash from voters. But getting through this brutal transition away from Russian gas is proving very difficult. Now, they're looking at a number of ideas. Ursula von der Leyen, the Commission President, is going to talk about longer-term contracts with more reliable suppliers like Norway and the United States as a way to bring gas prices down. Perhaps some kind of price ceiling on the cost of gas that's used to produce electricity. Even this idea now of member states purchasing gas together in something similar to what they did with the vaccines during the pandemic, to fill storage for next year in a way that they're not competing with each other and pushing the price of gas up.
And we've been hearing US anger in reaction to those OPEC moves, Tony, to cut oil production and push up the price. Has there been much reaction at EU level yet?
Well, people are more focused on gas at the moment because that's really the most vital source for a lot of European industry. And it has that effect on the cost of electricity at wholesale and retail level. So that's where the focus is today. And again, this is an informal summit, so they're not going to be making any formal decisions today. But I think a lot of member states and leaders are going to be getting this idea of solidarity off their chest. Germany is coming in, as you say, coming in for quite a lot of criticism for a kind of go-it-alone approach with this 200 billion euro cushion for their consumers and businesses. People are saying, look, we can't have countries competing against each other like that. That is against the spirit of European solidarity. And, of course, another issue which is less felt in Ireland, a lot of member states in the centre of Europe need to buy gas off each other and electricity off each other. If we get into a position this winter where member states are hoarding electricity or gas, then that's going to be a real problem for a lot of countries.
So thank you for filling us in on all of that. That's our Europe editor, Tony Connolly.